Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah. Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Chipped ham and football. That's what Pittsburgh does. What's up, everybody? Welcome back to another episode. Pleased to be joined today by Sean Hammond of Shaw Media out there in Chicago. He's been a Bears beat writer for a few seasons now, and he's a former Post-Gazette intern. So it's always great to tap into our network of former PGers in some form or fashion. We had Sarah K. Spencer on about a month ago, who's down in Atlanta now covering Georgia. Sean, what's going on, man?
Brian, I'm doing great. Love my time in Pittsburgh. Happy to be back and joining you and chatting some football here.
Yeah, obviously Steelers and Bears continue to cross paths, and Sean's been on top of all of that for their Bears Insider team, and we're going to pick his brain a little bit about not just Justin Fields, the player, and sort of what went wrong or at least didn't go right enough for him out there in the Windy City, but also just the trade market and why the Steelers were able to get him for next to nothing, sort of the mood out there in the Midwest right now about all of that. And as always, this show is brought to you by Pella. No better place to get new windows and doors installed in your home than Pella, who can help you save on energy costs year-round. Schedule a free in-home consultation with your local Pella windows and doors to find the right product for your home and budget. Give them a call at 866-593-1560 to discuss further. That's 866-593-1560 to get started on planning your new windows and doors installation with Pella Windows and Doors of Pittsburgh. So, Sean, I guess first off, where do you kind of fall? I'll let you take your beat writer hat off for a second and put on your analyst or opinion hat, which I know is not always the easiest thing to do with the team you're covering. But are you somebody who was a Fields believer in the sense that maybe the situation wasn't great there? Offensive coordinator Luke Getsy was actually the first shoe to drop in Chicago. Now he's with the Vegas Raiders. Or are you somebody who kind of felt it was time, hadn't seen enough from him in 3 years, and obviously full speed ahead with the Caleb Williams era once they're on the clock with the first pick in about a month or so?
Yeah, from my perspective, as soon as we sort of let last season play out and really like into December, you could kind of get the sense that this was the direction things were heading. I was definitely in the camp of draft Caleb Williams and see what you can get for Fields. It's totally fair to criticize the Bears for not giving Justin Fields, any weapons 2 years ago, especially when Ryan Poles came in as GM. They tore this thing down to the studs, and there was not very many playmakers for him to work with. And that's when they rightfully earned the number one pick on their own. They were able to build a little bit more last season. They acquired DJ Moore. They found some nice weapons in the draft. But at the end of the day, this is a quarterback who, he started for two full seasons and really like two and a half seasons going back to his rookie year. I know that was under a different GM, different head coach, but he's only got one 300-yard passing game his entire career. I know he is electric, and he is so fun to watch when he's running with the football in his hands. That's not going to change. But at some point, if you want to be a team that's going to make playoff runs, I think you have to have a quarterback that can win from the pocket when defenses will make you do that in the playoffs. And I just don't know if you saw enough over the last 3 years to convince you that Justin Fields could do that. So I was definitely in the camp of take that lottery ticket with Caleb Williams, assuming that's the direction they're going to go. I'd be shocked if they draft somebody else, but you know, take that lottery ticket and see what you can do with him in the future.
I know there are even some people speculating, maybe not in Chicago where you are, but, you know, the national media or what have you, this time a year ago, that the Bears should not trade out of one to Carolina, and they should just rip the Fields experiment up then, reset their clock, and then you don't worry about the fifth year option and all that. Lo and behold, you know, they could have ended up with CJ Stroud, or they could be going through some of the same growing pains with Bryce Young had they done that. You know, is it a case for you of, you know, it was right to give Fields a third year to prove it? And I will say, I mean, toward the end of the season, at least looking at the box scores, I wasn't watching them week in and week out like you were, but I think they went, what, 4-2 down the stretch after he, you know, was out for a little bit. And then he comes back and they almost flirt with a playoff run.
Yeah.
It seemed like there was something to build on, but just the choice wasn't necessarily Fields or no Fields. It was Fields or Caleb Williams, and a potentially, you know, game-changing quarterback just kind of seemed to win out for them in their front office.
Yeah, I mean, they certainly made things interesting. They benefited from that defense playing really well down the stretch after they traded for Montez Sweat. They played really, really well. The secondary was banged up early in the season when they got off to an awful start. And those guys were healthy down the stretch. And so you saw the team improve throughout the season. But ultimately, when they played good opponents, they had a game mid-December. They were back in the playoff hunt. They needed to win at Cleveland. When they played good defenses, they could not move the ball through the air. And that is, I think, you know, ultimately why Justin Fields didn't work out here in Chicago. They could not, when they needed to throw the football, when defenses knew they needed to throw the football, they really struggled. And so for that reason, I feel like that's, you know, you watch Caleb Williams play, you see some of the artistry that he plays with, you know, nobody ever wants to compare a quarterback to Patrick Mahomes, but in that style, you know, he can be so creative when things break down in the pocket. And, you know, with Justin, it was more things break down and he just takes off and runs, and that's valuable. You know, you can pick up first downs, you can make great plays doing that. But I don't know if you can win championships doing that. Certainly we haven't seen Lamar Jackson win one yet, even though he has played awesome, awesome football. And so, yeah, I do see, I understand why Ryan Poles is going the direction he is. And, you know, you bring up last year's draft, and I do think that I was fine with the decision to let them, you know, play out another season with Justin in 2023 as their starting quarterback. But you're talking about, you know, if they were to move ahead, you know, and trade out of number one again and stick with Justin in 2024, you're talking about passing up on, like you said, CJ Stroud last year, Bryce Young, who, you know, before the draft seemed like a good pick. You know, we'll see how that plays out in Carolina. Are you really gonna pass up on another chance to draft a Caleb Williams, a Jaden Daniels, a Drake May? I had a hard time seeing a GM who's, you know, he's relatively new to his job, but now he's got a couple of years under his belt, and it's time to take that swing, you know, because these guys, you know, they live and die based off who they get at the quarterback position, whether we like it or not. And so I think for Ryan Poles, it was time to take that swing. And, you know, Caleb Williams certainly looks like the type of prospect that you want to be acquiring in this situation.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense how you frame that. Poles has already seen the opportunity cost of missing out on a CJ Stroud type of player. And
exactly. Yeah.
And it's 1 year in, you know, smallish sample size, but the sample size is a lot larger for Justin Fields. And before we get into the mechanics of the trade, more or less, Sean, I wanted to ask you, just as someone who's been around this team for, you know, the entirety of Fields' stint there, you know, in the locker room, not just after games, but throughout the week, how do you feel like he will take to this role behind Russell Wilson personality-wise? Because obviously it's a shift for him. I mean, he was crowned as the guy in Chicago. They traded up for him. I can't remember. Was there any little experiment of him sitting behind a veteran at the start?
There was. Yeah, that's a whole other story. They had Andy Dalton, who they signed.
Right, and he played okay, as I recall, right?
Yeah, what ended up happening was Andy Dalton got hurt in week two. And so Justin was thrust into the starting role. He did not take any first team reps in training camp, which is you know, that's a whole indictment on the Matt Nagy, Ryan Pace era. Justin didn't take any first team reps that whole training camp, has to come in week two. And then basically, you know, Andy Dalton did come back a couple of weeks later, but at that point they just said, we're going to move forward with Justin still.
Sure. And I remember seeing you in the Acrisure Stadium, then Heinz Field press box when they played a primetime game against the Steelers, in which Fields played okay, as I recall, but TJ Watt happened, and you know that game script kind of blew up for the Bears, and yet it still required a Chris Boswell last minute field goal for the Steelers to win. But what I wanted to ask you was just, do you have a sense of how Fields will treat this opportunity in Pittsburgh? We've heard that it was his preferred landing spot. It's not uncommon for young players to want to go play for Mike Tomlin and be part of this organization, even if the winning hasn't been there in recent years quite as much. But certainly compared to a lot of teams in the league, they don't do a lot of losing, the Bears being one of them. How do you feel like he'll adjust to, at least for right now, you know, they've clearly stated Russell Wilson's the starter, Fields is the backup. How will he do with that dynamic? And, you know, how was he sort of, it seemed like he was well-liked around the Bears locker room from everything I can tell.
Yeah, Justin Fields is wired the right way. You know, whether he's being tasked with being a starter, or you know, we haven't seen him in a backup role, and like I said, it's been a couple of years now, but he's going to approach that thing the right way. I guarantee you that. I mean, his teammates love him. There's a reason that DJ Moore was still talking him up, saying he wanted him to be the starter in 2024. The guys in the locker room really respect Justin. The way he approaches the game, he's never once been a distraction off the field or anything like that.
Was it a presser where it seemed like people were maybe taking his,
yeah, you know what, that's fair,
context a little with Luke Getsy.
It, you know, he did voice his concern with the, you know, they had him standing in the pocket a lot. This was back in week two of the season, and he voiced his concern with sort of what the offense was looking like early in the year. He didn't like the way the headlines were coming out, and I don't know that was necessarily the media's fault, but you know, he said what he said, and
we're always an easy target, Sean. Yeah. You know that.
So, I mean, nobody was reporting anything other than what he said, and he kind of walked back on that after a little bit, and that's fine, whatever. But in terms of like, other than something silly like that, I mean, he's never been a distraction, and you know, it's interesting thinking back to, you know, they drafted him in 2021, the day after the Bears drafted Justin. This was back when all our media stuff was still on Zoom. Right. We did a session with Justin, and I actually asked him who he modeled his game after. And you could go look up the clip, but the first player he mentioned was Russell Wilson. And so I think that's a really fitting setting here for him to go and back up Russell Wilson. And you know, it's the NFL. You never know. Guys are going to get hurt. He's probably going to be in the game at some point next season. But that's certainly the type of veteran that I think he would want to learn from. You know, the type of guy that he kind of styled his game after when he was growing up. He's a mobile guy too, or at least, you know, Russell was when he was in his prime. He could move, and you know, that's obviously what Justin does well. And I think that they have a nice little quarterback room there. You know, we'll see what Russell still has left in the tank. Obviously, things didn't go well in Denver, but I can absolutely see Justin Fields wanting to sort of stick close to Russell Wilson and learn everything he can from that guy.
All right, we're going to take a really quick break. When we come back, let's talk about the trade. Conditional sixth-round pick that, oh boy, if everything goes well, the Bears will get a fourth for Justin Fields. We'll be right back with Sean Hammond, Bears beat writer.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Alrighty, thanks for sticking with us on Chipped Hammond Football from the Post Gazette's podcast network. Brian Batko, joined by Bears beat writer Sean Hammond. And Sean, what do you make of, you know, on one hand, I figure, okay, the market never lies to you. There weren't many suitors who were willing to give up a lot for Justin Fields. Actually, there weren't any, if you consider this being not a lot. But there's also been some reporting out there that maybe the Bears left a little bit of draft capital on the table to send him somewhere he wanted to go. Are you buying that at all, or do you feel like that kind of makes everybody look a little bit better as you rip off the Band-Aid here?
I don't know if I'm buying that. Yeah, I think it's more of the latter. I mean, I don't know how much – look, once free agency began and Kirk Cousins found a new home and Russell Wilson found a new home, these starting jobs were – there weren't too many of them out there, and there really aren't at all, especially when you look at which teams are well-positioned to draft quarterbacks. And so I don't think that, you know, all the Bears fans who thought that they could get, you know, a first, second, third round pick for Justin Fields, as soon as those starting jobs dried up, I mean, that was not going to be the case. We saw what Mac Jones was traded for. We saw what Kenny Pickett was traded for the day before the Justin trade. And so I think it kind of became a thing where the Bears were going to take whatever they could get, because ultimately I don't think they wanted Caleb Williams and Justin Fields to be in that awkward situation where they're both on the roster and they're hearing from everybody in the city of Chicago, from all their family members and friends, you know, what's going to happen here. I don't think anybody wanted that situation to play out, least of all Ryan Poles, the GM. And so it just made too much sense to move on from Justin if you're gonna draft a quarterback. And at that point, I mean, teams across the league can kind of call your bluff and say, okay, they're getting rid of this guy. I'm not gonna offer up anything higher than a sixth round pick. And you know, that's kind of what the way that this played out.
My view of it is, yeah, I mean, even though sometimes if the trading team doesn't have a lot of leverage, sometimes you can hope that teams are going to bid up each other if it's a valuable commodity. Yeah. And yet I think with these sort of, I don't know if I want to say failed quarterbacks, but quarterbacks who their teams are willing to go in a different direction and they were drafted high and they have that pedigree, whether it's the guys you mentioned, Kenny Pickett right here in Pittsburgh, but even going back to previous years, you know, Trey Lance, Zach Wilson, there might have even less of a trade market. Otherwise he wouldn't still be with the Jets. Desmond Ridder, Sam Howell, they were more mid-round guys, but still, I don't think any GM out there, whether it's Omar Khan or whoever, nobody wants to be the sucker. No, nobody wants to be the one who ponies up a whole bunch of draft capital for that, you know, transitional quarterback. So I think it's maybe not a case of, okay, this market indicates that Justin Fields is garbage, but maybe it's just he's fallen victim a little bit to, you know, the market gets set and it takes a kind of disruptor to change that. And the Steelers were not willing to be that team. In fact, everything we've seen from them in recent months and years, going back to letting Kenny Pickett fall to them at 20 overall a couple years ago, tells you that they're not in that business. They're in the business of extracting the value of it. So, you know, with Fields, Sean, what would be kind of your, you know, best case scenario? I know you mentioned the pocket passing hasn't been there. Do you think he has the skill set to develop in that way if the Steelers quarterback coaches and staff can bring that out of him? Or do you think that they might have to find a different way to win with him if he eventually becomes the starter here?
Yeah, that's been, you know, kind of the question the last 3 years. I do feel like Justin has, I mean, he has an arm. He can throw the deep ball. He can make some really impressive passes at times. It's just not been super consistent. Certainly adding DJ Moore last year really helped him and gave him a reliable target. You know, if you have a few reliable targets out there, that's going to help any quarterback. But I do think that the Bears had to adjust the way that they wanted to play on offense in order to try to win games with him, because, you know, there's been times where it seems like he's a little bit slow to read the field or, you know, that he's just not able to play within the structure as well as you would want. And yeah, you see what he can do running the ball. He's really electric in that area, but you know, sometimes the Bears had to kind of, you know, get him moving outside the pocket, shift the pocket, you know, laterally left and right to create throwing angles, to create opportunities in the passing game. And I don't think that Justin can't be a successful quarterback. I mean, I do think that, you know, he wasn't terrible. Like if they didn't have the first round pick, we probably wouldn't be having this conversation at all. You'd probably be sticking with him for 2024 in Chicago.
And it'd be kind of a prove it year with it, maybe without the option being picked up.
The fact that they have this number one overall pick, thanks to the Carolina Panthers, changed everything. And so I think that teams can win games with Justin Fields at quarterback. You know, I know he's not going there to be the starter. He might not have his opportunity or as many opportunities as he would like. But, you know, if he has to take over, I would think that he and Russell Wilson could play similar styles of offense. I think he might fit really well as a backup for him. And I do think he's going to get another chance in the league, whether that's next year with Pittsburgh, whether, you know, who knows how this year is going to play out, but he's certainly eligible to become a free agent next year. I do think that he's gonna get another opportunity. If Mitchell Trubisky was able to get another contract in the league, like Justin Fields absolutely will too. He can be a successful quarterback. It's just got to be the right situation, the right type of offense. And really you need to see more improvement from him in that passing game.
Yeah. And I imagine it was probably an easier sell for Mike Tomlin and company to say, hey, come here and back up Russell Wilson versus whether it would have been a Mitch Trubisky or Mason Rudolph or Kenny Pickett, anybody really less established in the league. Yeah. And, you know, like you said, somebody that Justin Fields grew up, you know, idolizing at least to some degree. And now they're both in the league together. So it's going to be very interesting to see the dynamics of that. And it's going to be a business at the end of the day. If Russell Wilson plays well, you know, Justin Fields will have been a fire extinguisher left behind the glass that the emergency never happened and he wasn't needed. If Russell Wilson struggles, which he might, then you can see what you've got with Fields. So, well, thanks, Sean. Is there anything else you want to add before we let you go? Otherwise, you can plug or promote anything Fields or Bears related that you might want to for our Steelers audience here.
No, if you want to read the Bears perspective, head to shawlocal.com. That's S-H-A-W-L-O-C-A-L. You can find my stuff, Sean_Hammond. I really appreciate you having me on, Brian. This has been a lot of fun.
For sure. Yeah. Like I said, we bump elbows occasionally at the combine and at different games, and the Bears and Steelers have certainly been doing a lot of business together. So every now and again, I have to hit you up and check on Chase Claypool. That fizzled out rather quickly.
Yeah, we'll see where he lands next.
Yeah, I know. I guess Ryan Poles is probably one of the favorite people in the NFL for Steelers fans over these last couple seasons. So, but who knows? Maybe it'll work out for both franchises and run into you at a Super Bowl with Caleb Williams versus Justin Fields in some year that, you know, starts with 2-0-2. Who knows?
That'd be fun. That'd be fun. I can't wait.
All right. For Sean Hammond from Shaw Local in Chicago, I'm Brian Badko. Thanks as always for checking us out on Chipped Hammond Football. Great stuff from Sean. We will be back with you again. Chris Carter will have the Wednesday North Shore Drive episode, and we'll have plenty of coverage of the Steelers and all their maneuvering from Omar Khan and company at post-gazette.com.
Thank you for tuning in. Thank you for checking out this content from Post Gazette Sports. If you watch this video on YouTube, please like the video and subscribe to our channel. For all of the sports coverage the Post Gazette has to offer, visit post-gazette.com.